New Testament church. The model of the New Testament church. Praise the Lord. God, pour out your Holy Ghost on this church just like you did on this church in the book of Acts. 120? What, we had 75 maybe this morning? Somewhere between 60 and 75. I'm not sure the number. Didn't try to count. But I know that God's able to pour his Holy Ghost out on this place. And we're able to see the mighty move of God, and I'm yearning for that. I'm yearning for that. Acts 1 and verse 8, and then Acts 2 verse 1, Acts 1 and 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Samaria, I'm sorry, in all Judah, and in all Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now you notice, I preached this morning and brought out about Samaria, and how that it had been completely ignored and rejected by the Jewish people, because it was a mixed breed of people who had mixed in their marriage and their families with people of heathen backgrounds. And so Samaria had been rejected. We saw it in the text this morning, and now we see it in the text tonight. In Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Nowhere is to be rejected when it comes to the gospel. We don't just preach to people of one color skin. We don't just preach to people of one social standard. We preach to everybody we get a chance to preach to. regardless of those things. Now, Acts 2 and 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Cloven tongues like as of fire. I like that, as of fire, don't you? They set up them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. I'm preaching tonight on the thought, the Holy Ghost is power. The Holy Ghost is power. This is the power that your pastor longs for in a way greater and more profound than I've ever known. I long for it, and I believe many of you are longing for that power. Power that when we witness, the people cannot just reject us out of hand. But there is a move of conviction. There is a grip of God's love upon their heart to make them want this Savior that we talk about. The Holy Ghost is power. You may be seated. May the anointing of God be upon me as I preach to you a few minutes tonight about this power. The Holy Ghost is power. I like that term. I like that term. The Holy Ghost is power. The Holy Ghost is power. I said the Holy Ghost is power. You see, it is so important to understand that the flesh cannot save anybody. The flesh cannot save you of its own naked strength. The flesh cannot keep you in the right way, in the right path, in the right walk of its own authority and power. You need the Spirit. You need the Spirit. The church has no power without the Spirit. The church has no anointing without the Holy Ghost. There can be no conversions unless there is conviction of the Holy Ghost. There can be no new lives unless they're transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. There can be no great music of singing and worship unless they are anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost. There can be no great preaching that gets a hold of the heart of a man, a woman, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. We must understand there is no power in the human flesh apart from God. There is no power in the human flesh apart from God. If you walk in the flesh, you shall die. Ye shall die. Now, where there is no Holy Ghost anointing, we need to understand that God is actually absent. If God's Holy Ghost is not moving in a church, that means God is absent. Now, that's awesome to think about. That God's not even there. God's not even there if the Holy Ghost isn't there in a moving visitation, in an expression of His presence, with a manifestation of His power. The Holy Ghost must be there, or God isn't there. You see, the Father's on His throne, and Jesus is at His right hand, and He sent the Holy Ghost to indwell us and manifest Him to us by His Spirit. So when His Spirit is not present, God is not there. The devil will make toast out of you if you are depending on your flesh and not upon God. You must understand the devil will make toast out of you. The devil will never turn you loose. He'll shake you in so many ways you won't know what's going on in your life unless you're kept by the power of the Holy Ghost. Unless the Spirit of God is upon you, God's anointing is over you, and you're living in the sweet presence of His Holy Ghost. It's awesome for me to think about what the devil does to people who have no moving of the Holy Ghost in their life. All you got to do is just go a few places and look at a few people and watch them as you go about your daily experiences. And you'll see what the devil is doing to people in the absence of the presence of the Holy Ghost. And you can't find nobody full of the Holy Ghost that they aren't making an impact upon their world. All around them is a sense of something beautiful when the Holy Ghost is moving upon an individual. Oh, I long for that presence to so anoint me. Everywhere I go, there's a visitation of God. And somehow the power is being manifest and God is gripping somebody's life. Oh, I believe it with all my heart. Oh, where there is no anointing of the Holy Ghost, the devil will make toast out of people. How many young people do you know that are just being utterly destroyed? How many people in our families do you know that are being utterly, utterly destroyed? Their lives are deeper and deeper ingrained in sin and wickedness and things that do nothing but destroy. Because there's no moving of the Holy Ghost in their life. I'm here to tell you, the devil will make toast out of you if you're not full of his spirit. Now, let me tell you, there is no future with God without the moving of the Holy Ghost in your life. The future, the heavenly future, is absent from the lives of people that know nothing of the sweet work of the Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he said, he's none of his. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Did you hear me? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. There is no future to the person without the Spirit of God moving in their life. There is no hope of tomorrow. There is no promise down the road without the moving of the Spirit in your life. Hallelujah. If ever you've longed for the Holy Ghost to be moving up and down the avenues of your soul, this hour demands it. We live in a world under the spirit and the mystery of iniquity. Everywhere you look, there's the mystery of iniquity manifested. All kinds of evil and all kinds of darkness and all kinds of blight. He's literally turning the world into a wilderness. Turning the world into a wilderness. It has overwhelmed me this week when I realized that our government is organized, busily organized to express and to push the homosexual agenda in every diplomatic relationship we have on the face of this earth. They literally organized in the political arena to push the homosexual agenda all over the face of this earth. Now tell me, how in the world can a government of a nation like America leave the diplomacy of relationships with the nations of the world, dealing with all the threats and dealing with the economies and dealing with the war threats and dealing with the many enemies, dealing with diseases like Ebola and all the other things. And they've got time to spend their money and their energy to push an agenda of sodomy on the world. You say, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, it sure is factual. It sure is coming out of forces and sources that cannot be denied, that our government is in the business of pushing the homosexual agenda in the diplomacies of all their action on the face of the whole earth. They determined to turn this world into a sodomite world, a sodomite international compromise. Oh, how in the world? See, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? You can't resist these powers in your flesh. You can't resist these powers in the strength of your physical being. You're dependent on God. You're dependent on God. I'm telling you right now, there is no future for service, for anything that has to do with God without the sweet work of the Holy Ghost upon your life. You need this sweet Holy Ghost. You need this sweet Holy Ghost. Raise your hand with me, will you? You need this sweet Holy Ghost. Would you say with me, welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Come near my soul. Strengthen me and anoint me and fill me with power that I can be usable in the service of the Master. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now I want to give you four places that you need power in your life. Holy Ghost power. Four places. Four expressions of your faith. Four expressions of your Christian life. Number one, never have you needed the power of the Holy Ghost in prayer as you do in this hour. Now you listen to me. Please listen to me. Between here and the throne of God is what we know to be the princes of the powers of the air. Between here and the throne of God is the prince of the power of the air. And the atmospheric heavens that covers millions and millions and millions and millions of cubit miles and space. I mean, it's incredible amount of space that's there. And between here and the Father are enemies of darkness. The Bible says Satan is the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air. So between you and God, there's enough devils and enough power to stop anything that is of human origin. Anything of human strength. Anything of human ability. Nothing can get through that world of evil that's of the human makeup, of the human ability. But there is a Holy Ghost of God that's been sent to the church of the living God. And that Holy Ghost of God can literally spin his way, move his way through those princes and powers of wickedness and carry your smallest request right up before the throne of Almighty God. Oh, somebody raise your hand and praise him with me. Hallelujah. The prince of the power of the air cannot stop the moving of the Holy Ghost. He can stop the biggest choir. He can stop the greatest preacher. He can stop the greatest expression of human ability, but he can't stop the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the living God can move your prayer instantly without a moment of hesitation right from your lips to the throne room of the Father. Hallelujah. And the devil can't interpret it. The devil can't figure it out. And the devil can't stop it. And you can be victorious. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to pray. If all you do is just pray in your own little terminologies and your own little abilities, and you just pray your now I lay me down to sleep prayers, and you just, you know, you're just a little human effort, you're not going to get anywhere, and there's not going to be any change in the circumstances of your life. But when you begin to give yourself over to the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sister Wendy tells me of Chuck. And things that Chuck Simmons will say. He says, every time I walk in that sanctuary at Paul Creek to pray, immediately I feel this great liberty of prayer in this place. Well, I am the same way. I can walk out of that office on Monday or any day of the week and walk in here and begin to pray. And almost instantly, there's the sweet move of the Holy Ghost. That's what we got to have in prayer. Or you say, why aren't there more results? Well, you just wait on God. Just believe him. Just trust him. He'll take care of that. But I'm here to tell you, the Holy Ghost is mighty. And he'll move your prayers right through the reaches of Satan, right through all the designs and schemes of the devil. And he'll take it right up before the Father. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I was so hungry for the right sermon. I mean, I was hungry for the right sermon. It was getting over in the afternoon, and we'd been asked to go to eat with some people. And I realized, Brother Chambers can't leave here. I'm not ready to preach. I haven't heard that voice yet. I haven't known what that sermon was yet. And so I begged off and got ready to get back here to this sanctuary. And before I got here, I heard the whisper of the Holy Ghost in my ears, laying the message up. I preached this morning upon my heart. I want to tell you something, church. We got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. And we got to pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. We've got to learn before, more than ever before, how we must pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. I love this scripture. And I want you to write it down. Mark it good in your Bible. The book of Jude, the last book before Revelation. Go with me, please. I want you to read it. I want you to mark it. I want you to memorize it. I want it to become part of your makeup, part of your very presence in person. The book of Jude is a small book with just 25 verses, one chapter, but it's a powerful verse. Jude was one of the half-brothers of our Lord Jesus. Verse 20, he made this great statement, but ye beloved, who's he talking to? He's talking to you, Brother Buck, beloved. Talking to you, Sister Lucille, beloved. Sister Doris, to you, beloved, but ye beloved, building up yourselves. I enjoyed teaching Wednesday night on grace and spiritual maturity. That was our subject, grace, spiritual maturity. If you missed it, you ought to get it on DVD or either on audio. Grace and spiritual maturity. But listen to this. But ye beloved, building up yourselves. See, we're talking about maturity. We're talking about building up yourselves. We find the word in Hebrews 6, let us go on unto perfection. That word perfection, Sister Ginger mentioned to me on Thursday morning that she had never realized before that word perfection meant maturity. Go on unto maturity. He's talking here about how to do that. Building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. Putting on maturity. Growing. Becoming strong. Adding stature to yourself. Adding capability to your prayer life. Building up yourselves. Praying. I love this. Praying. 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 Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. I love that. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. You can't build up yourself in this Bible. You can't build up yourself in the faith of Christ, but by the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that beautiful? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You say, Brother James, I've never prayed in the Holy Ghost. Well, I'd make up my mind this week if I was you. I'd find me a place to pray. I'd lock the door between me and anybody else. And I'd say, leave me alone until you hear me praying in the Holy Ghost. Until you hear me praying in the Holy Ghost. And then don't bother me until I quit. Hallelujah. And just get on there and pray till the Holy Ghost begins to pray. Brother Chambers, don't tell me. It'll happen every time you make up your mind and you stay there long enough. He'll move on you and you'll be praying in the Holy Ghost and you will feel the power of that prayer. And you'll build yourself up and you'll make progress and there'll be growth and there'll be maturity. Hallelujah, praying in the Holy Ghost. That means praying by the power of the Holy Ghost. It don't just mean praying in tongues. It may be praying in your own natural language. Paul said, I pray with the Spirit and I pray with the understanding. You can pray in the power of the Holy Ghost using your own language. But you can also pray in the power of the Holy Ghost using His language. And you need both. You actually need both. Hallelujah. When he's praying, you don't know what he's saying. But you're praying in the Holy Ghost. I love that. I absolutely love that. I don't think there's anything more important in my life than me praying in the Holy Ghost. It happens to me at all kinds of times, at all kinds of occasions, and I get disturbed if it hasn't happened in a given day. I've got to be moved by the Holy Ghost to pray. Oh, there's power in praying like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like it when God just anoints me and I'm out trying to take care of things and doing business things and walking through Sam's or walking through wherever and the Holy Ghost is just praying. Hallelujah. I mean, see, there's so many languages in America now that you're walking through a store praying in the Holy Ghost and most people won't even pay you any attention because they hear all kinds of languages. Well, I hope they can feel something, though, when we're praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What a joy. It'll bring conviction. It'll stir the hearts of people. I love it with all of my heart. Go back, if you please, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. I'm sorry, chapter 14, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What's the use of me praying if I don't know what I'm saying? I'll tell you what is the use of it. The Holy Ghost is praying for you for things that you don't even know you need. The Holy Ghost has already looked into tomorrow. He knows what tomorrow's going to bring. He knows something ugly and unkind somebody's going to do to you. He knows something that's going to hurt your heart. something that's going to cause you to be grieved within. And he knows what you need when that happens. Not get angry, not get upset, but just give yourself over. Submit yourself to God and pray until the Spirit prays. Hallelujah. And so when the Holy Ghost is praying, he's caring for your soul. What a joy. He's building you up. He's strengthening you. He's laying his hand of love upon you. Very important. Now, number two, not only do you need to pray in the Holy Ghost, I think one of the greatest needs of this hour is to sing in the Holy Ghost. I believe praying and singing in the Holy Ghost has become imperative in this closing hour. With the mystery of iniquity moving in upon this world like just great waves of darkness and ugliness and filthiness and wickedness. We're living in a day unlike anything this world has ever known. I'm here to tell you what happened in Noah's day is no more wicked and no greater in darkness than what's happening in our day. And I'm telling you, what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah is no different than what we're facing all across America. I read a statement yesterday on the air of a senator named Tom Coburn from Oklahoma. And he said, the greatest threat to America right now is the movement of homosexual and sodomy activity and the organizing of themselves in every level of government and their determination to master all of our lives. I knew that was coming for the Antichrist period of the 7 years, but I didn't know how much of it might come before the rapture. And I still don't know how much of it's coming. But I know one thing, if I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and I'm full of the Spirit of the living God, I can just keep right on a shouting and right on a praying and right on a living close to Calvary. Hallelujah. I can sing in the Holy Ghost. I can pray with the Holy Ghost. And by the way, God's grace will keep me. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody raise a hand and say, praise the Lord. Now, I'm trying to feed your soul tonight. I'm here to tell you, you need to learn and dedicate and devote and surrender and pray much until the Holy Ghost is moving upon you in what I'm talking about tonight. Hallelujah. I can't wait to hear this whole church singing in the Holy Ghost. I don't mean in concert. I don't mean in some kind of organized way like the charismatics do. I mean each person being moved individually by the Holy Ghost to bless him and to praise him and to magnify him. Hallelujah. I'm believing for that. I'm telling you, that's power. In singing in the Holy Ghost. I said, there's power in singing in the Holy Ghost. There's power when you begin to make melody in your heart unto the Lord in the power of the Holy Ghost. You begin to praise him and love him. Hallelujah. Your home needs to be filled with it every time those children of yours who are unsaved, who don't know the joy of the Lord come in. Mama ought to be somewhere. Daddy ought to be somewhere praying and loving and the Holy Ghost moving and the Spirit of God speaking with great tones of power and authority. And you, I'm here to tell you, it'll bring results. See, the reason the Pentecostal world is in such a drought right now, the Pentecostal world is going through a drought unlike anything that's happened in my lifetime. Probably unlike anything that's happened in Brother Buck's lifetime, even longer than mine. But I'm here to tell you, I really believe that before the rapture there could be a Holy Ghost move and a breath of the Spirit. And if you say, what's going to bring it to pass? Two things. Repenting of sin, turning from wickedness, crying out in Zion and crying over the wickedness of our nation. And second, moving in the power of the Holy Ghost in praying, in singing, hallelujah, in obedience to God and allowing the Spirit of God to just do his wonderful thing among us. Would you raise your hand and just worship him? Father, fill somebody with the Holy Ghost tonight. Father, fill somebody, hallelujah, with the Holy Ghost tonight. Raise your hand, young people. Raise your hand, saints of God. Let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. You need this anointing. You need this power. Don't think you don't need it as much as Brother Chambers. You need this anointing, singing in the Holy Ghost. Well, I meant to read this beautiful scripture where Paul talks about that. Let me read to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Listen, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit. Chapter 14, verse 15. I want you to read it. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. And I will sing with the understanding. Also, you must consciously decide in your heart that I'm going to give myself to singing in the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother Chambers, I can't give myself to that. You can give yourself to that just like you gave yourself to be saved. How did you get saved? You turned yourself over to God and you believed Him by His grace to wash away your sins and to make a new creature out of you. And you got saved. Then you believed Him to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. If you haven't, you need to. And He baptized you with the Holy Ghost. Now, what is the activity of the Holy Ghost? The activity of the Holy Ghost is not just to baptize me and be speaking in tongues one time and then have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He meant for the Holy Ghost to come, and the language of the Holy Ghost then would be with me all the days of my life. And I would sing in the Holy Ghost. And I would pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I love singing in the Holy Ghost. I do. I love singing in the Holy Ghost. There was a day when Pentecostal churches was full of it. There was a day, and I don't mean again what this charismatic crowd does when they try to everybody do it in concert, and they're just making a noise and saying things that have no more meaning if they was just saying jumbo, jumbo. But when the real Holy Ghost moves upon you and you begin to talk the language of the Heavenly Father, you actually join the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and you sing their language. And I read in the Bible where Jesus sings with you when you do that. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, what a God we serve, singing in the Holy Ghost. This week, I challenge every one of you to get yourself alone with God. Now stay there till you're singing in the Holy Ghost. Go to your job with Jesus on your mind. Every time you got a little time, praise Him and love Him. Or you can do it under your breath if the circumstance demands it. If you're at a place you can't be heard, just do it under your breath. Hallelujah. I've laid in the bed at night. Mama's asleep. I don't want to wake her up. And I'm singing in the Holy Ghost. And I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God's moving all over me in that bed. I probably wake her up. Don't mean to sometimes. But I want to tell you something. I got to have this. This is my life. Hallelujah. This is my life. So, you got praying in the Holy Ghost. And you got singing in the Holy Ghost. And then you got to study the Bible in the Holy Ghost. Oh, you think you're smart, huh? You think you can figure out all those wonderful mysteries of the Bible. You ought to go off to some of these meetings once in a while, like I go, and you hear people talking about the Bible, and they don't know no more about what they're talking about than a man in the moon. And you say, that man knows Greek, and he knows Hebrew, and he can speak those languages better than I can talk English, but he can't understand the Holy Bible, even though he goes back and reads it in its original language. What's wrong, Brother Chambers? I'm telling you what's wrong. The Bible is a mystery. The Bible is a heavenly, glorious, wonderful mystery. And the only way to understand the most blessed parts of those truths is when the Holy Ghost reveals them to you. When the Holy Ghost makes them come out and come alive. When the Holy Ghost brings interpretation. Will somebody raise a hand and shout a little bit for me, will you? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The Bible can be understood by the moving of the Holy Ghost upon you. And that glorious word comes alive. I got to reading the text I preached from this morning. And I'm telling you, I got so excited. I was shouting and praising God. I don't think I preached as good as I should have. And I can tell you why I probably didn't. Because I'd already squeezed so much good juices out of that sermon. And I'd been so blessed and so blessed and so blessed by some of those thoughts that got a hold of me. Until I'd already shouted myself almost silly with the glory of the Word of God. And it'll do it for you. You'll find more joy in studying the Bible than you find in any game you can play. Any book you can read, anything you can do for pleasure. There's more joy in the Bible when you really get in it and study in the Holy Ghost than you can find anywhere else in the world. I mean, that's no question. That's the truth. But it's got to be spiritual. You got to get down to the meat of it. You got to get down to the meat of it. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the early part, chapter 2. I want to show you some beautiful truth here. I'm trying not to preach too long, and I already can tell I'm overdoing it, but I'm sorry. I'm trying to feed you. I really am. I'm trying to feed you. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1 it is. No, chapter 2, verses 9. The book of 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, he's not talking about just the future. He's talking about the present also. There's two expressions there. The heavenly future is beyond your understanding. But the present mysteries of God are bigger than your understanding. Amen. But God hath revealed them unto us. How? You want to read it? Read it out loud, everybody. How did God reveal his wonderful mysteries to us? By his Spirit. Oh, his Spirit will make this book come alive. It'll set your soul on fire. You'll tear up the bed if you happen to be laying in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll tear up the bed. You'll shout and praise him. I get too loud sometimes. I know. Here and at home. But I want to tell you something. I go to feeding on this word. It feeds my soul. It really does. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For, listen, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Did you hear that? How many of you know there's some deep things in the Bible? Man is so full of them. How do you know them? You don't dig them out with human intellect. You don't dig them out with the great wisdom of flesh. The Holy Ghost reveals them to you. The Holy Ghost makes them come alive in your heart. Hallelujah. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man within him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. You ought to memorize that verse of Scripture. The things of man knoweth no man, but the Spirit of man in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God. Oh, the Holy Ghost is the best teacher on the face of this earth. The Holy Ghost is the greatest teacher. The Holy Ghost is the only teacher of eternal truths. The Holy Ghost is the only teacher of eternal truths. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Oh, what things also we speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now listen, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Wow. I don't know about you, but I want to be taught by the Holy Ghost. I want to be taught by the Holy Ghost. I want to be taught more and more by the Holy Ghost. I'm committing myself to him to teach me that the wonderful things of this Bible would come off the page and root their ways into my heart so that it can come flowing out of me when I stand in this pulpit and I can give you these great truths of God. Hallelujah. What wonderful truths they are. Which things also we speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Some of the smartest men have stood in pulpits all over this nation over the many years. Some of the great men that know some wonderful things about the Bible, and good preachers and good teachers. But some of them have known so little about the Holy Ghost that they've got these blind spots in their theology. They've got these blind spots in the things they teach. And I go off to the meeting that I went to 2 weeks ago, and some of the nicest, kindest, just wonderful, dear people, and I love them. I love them dearly. But they've got blind spots, and you can't get them past it to save your life. And you know the only answer is what the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Aren't you glad you've got a teacher who is absolutely supernatural? Hallelujah. Well, I'm trying to come to a conclusion here. But I end talking to you about walking in the Spirit. Did you know it's dangerous today to do anything you do without the anointing of God upon you? If you don't walk in the Holy Ghost, my Bible makes it plain. Go back to Romans chapter 8. That's a great chapter for you to just get the whole chapter written down upon your heart, upon your mind. It's sweet. It's rich. It's wonderful. Verse 6 says, For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded. Now, carnal don't mean sinful. Carnal just means fleshly. To be fleshly minded. To approach things with your intellect and your wisdom. To approach things with your best ability is spiritual death. But to approach things of the Holy Ghost is spiritual life. Sweet anointing. Wonderful power. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm going to stop there. I hope you'll read that 8th chapter of Romans when you get home tonight. Will you do that? Read that whole chapter. Pick your verse or two to memorize. Memorize one verse one day and another the next day. And memorize some verses in that 8th chapter of Romans. It's powerful. It talks all through that chapter about walking in the Spirit. About living in the Spirit. It makes it very plain. If any man doesn't live in the Spirit, he's carnal. And he's carnally minded. And there's death working in that carnal mind. But when you get the moving of the Holy Ghost, would you stand with me? When you get the moving of the Holy Ghost, when you get that moving of the sweet Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost is stirring you and moving you and shaking you and awakening you. Oh, there's something wonderful about the move of the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's something wonderful, church, about this moving of the Holy Ghost. I want you to want it with all of your heart. I want you to put everything else aside and want it with all of your heart. Make it the center of your life. Make it the center of your thinking. Yearn after a powerful, Spirit-filled, Spirit-anointed life. Would you raise your hand with me all over the congregation? I wish every teenager would join me. Every young person would join me. And just raise your hand and tell God you want Him to make you more powerful in the Holy Ghost. That you want to pray in the Spirit. And you want to sing in the Spirit. And you want to study in the Spirit. And you want to walk in the Spirit. Know the power of living in that Holy Ghost. Oh, the power of living in that Holy Ghost. The power of walking in that Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Move on these young people, Lord. I am aching. I'm aching to see them mightily moved by the Holy Ghost. Oh, I love Him tonight. I hope I fed you. I hope I fed you. Are you listening? I hope I fed you. I want you to live in this sweet Holy Ghost. I want you to live in this sweet Spirit of Almighty God. What a God we serve. What a God we're living for, serving and doing His will. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. Everybody just praise Him a minute. Hallelujah. Oh, He's a wonderful Savior. I love preaching to you tonight. I hope I've brought you something that feeds your soul. I've done my best. To me, it's food. I mean spiritual power, spiritual anointing, spiritual unction. Mighty in the Spirit. Mighty in the Holy Ghost. Mighty in the great presence of our Father and our God. I love you, Lord. Let's just love Him a little bit. Turn that little spot where you're at there into an altar, will you? Turn that little spot where you're at into an altar. Father, I'm just giving Joe Chambers to You. Sweet to Claypor, I know her. Masalepo, Petrines, and Nicoba. Oh, Oh, hallelujah. Let your anointing come upon our people. Let us start hearing people singing in the Holy Ghost, Father. Let us start hearing people praying in the Holy Ghost. It'll ricochet all over this sanctuary, Lord. It'll move among us, and it'll start growing. It'll get bigger and bigger and bigger all over this building. Those who come on Sunday morning begin to feel enough of this Holy Ghost, they'll want to come on Sunday night. Father, let it be real in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Will you pray for us, Brother Marlin, that God will visit?
Father, we thank you, Lord, that in your love and in your grace, you have opened up and given us all things. Lord, you gave us Jesus Christ to redeem us, to cleanse us, to, oh God, impute unto us a righteousness, Lord, that makes us acceptable in your sight, Father. And then, as he said, it is needful for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, he will come, and he will lead and guide you into all truth. He will take everything of mine and give it unto you. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for that Comforter. I thank you for the Holy Ghost that's so wonderful and so mighty, that earnest of the Spirit that ensures me of a home in heaven, of my name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you, Lord, for the times that he's moved upon me. Lord, the preacher has said the word has just off the page, God. How truth has been written upon the tablets of my heart, God. The understanding went from a mind and was written into the heart, and the devil can't touch it, God. Lord, if thy people would learn to study thy word and allow the Spirit of God to speak truth to them and write it upon their hearts, Lord, they would never fail, they would never fall. For Lord, what's in the heart, the devil cannot reach, Lord. He can't touch it, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to thee. Teach us, Lord, a dependence upon the Holy Ghost. He will do and work and perform all we
move
will allow,
Holy Ghost.
Lord.
Get your hand up,
change
it.
If we open
your
up and
just let him move in your life.
If we hunger and we thirst, he is faithful and just to make known the riches, the love, the grace, the mercy, the power, the strength. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, hope, or think. For he is very God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in perfect unity, perfect power, perfect oneness, Father.